Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with international marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
Goes wild with delirious joy. They've joined the Mark Unger Show, the show that deals with all things concerning
knowledge.
Indeed, I'm your host, the one, the only Mark Unger. Joining me as always, the very The very nice Diane Briley, who's playing with phones and stuff.
Sorry, he's trying to get the periscope going.
Oh, well.
Periscoping again.
The one periscoping over there is Philip James Gunger, also part of the show. Engineering the show is always the very talented but eerily creepy Timothy Robert Ray, pushing buttons, twisting knobs, and trying to stay awake during the production of this incomprehensibly, immeasurably boring show. This is the show that handles your marital challenges, relational conundrums, and dating dilemmas that you can email to us at askask@markgungor.com. Here's how the show works. You can send us an email about anything, remain totally anonymous, nothing's off limits. You stay anonymous. We then are pretty straightforward and pretty brutally honest.
Depending on the day.
Depending on the day.
The level of brutality varies.
You know.
Watch out, today might be one of those days.
Well, up in Wisconsin, you know, we have these fire threats signs.
Oh, yeah, low.
Low,
yeah, like
medium,
the Smokey the Bear signs.
Yeah, Smokey the Bear signs. So we need like
danger.
This on our show.
Oh, today might just, be a high danger day.
So people will know whether that's high, medium, or low danger and stuff. So anyway, if you want someone who's going to be really sensitive to your concerns, email focus on the family. But if you want to know what we think, then bring it on. What do you got there, sunshine?
Okay, three things the higher sex drive spouse wishes their spouse, the other spouse, knew.
Okay, so it doesn't have to do with altitude or anything.
Higher sex drive, not
someone who's more interested in sex than the other person.
What they want the low sex
lower
drive
sex,
person
not quite
to
as interested
yes,
as I am.
Right. The okay. first thing they want you to know is we are Sherlock most of the time, as in Sherlock Holmes.
What does that mean?
My dear Watson, do you see the way she's hanging her head? That means she isn't interested in you tonight. That might not be something a higher sex drive spouse would ever say out loud, but they are absolutely thinking about it. Most of the time we are looking for every little clue if you are interested or not. In the times when we sense you are neutral towards sex, we are looking for any sign that we could possibly introduce the idea without creating a conflict. Sometimes our sleuthing is spot on, but often we mistake your, wow, it was a long day, for I'm not interested, so don't even try, Buster. We would like you to recognize we are frequently trying to take your sexual temperature. Always trying to figure it out.
All right. Why would the other person need to know that you know that?
I don't know. They wish, not that they wish.
Well, the premise says, of the article is what the other guy wished the other one knew.
They wish, I guess, do you wish that your wife knew you were always trying to figure it out?
No, because I'm always interested. So it doesn't really matter.
To you, it doesn't. Maybe. To another, that they're always trying to take the read of the temperature of the...
Okay.
It's exhausting, right?
But why does it matter if the other person knows that you know that or thinking that way?
I don't know. Maybe they'll be more apt to give you the right clues. I don't know. I didn't write the article.
I got a problem with the article already.
All right,
number two.
It's about togetherness as much as sex. The sex is great, but this isn't the only reason that we have a higher sex drive.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Sitting and holding hands and putting your arm around somebody. It's not the same.
Will you just listen?
Well, I'm just saying. They're saying it's not to get as much to get the ness as it is about the sex. Well, then quit asking for sex.
We recognize and desire the closeness and intimacy that comes from sex. We need to remember that our lower drive spouse often wants to feel connected before the desire for intimacy.
The problem is they're interested in their lower drive.
You're ruining this whole thing.
Okay, keep going. So,
at the same time, we'd like you to know that a lack of sexual intimacy can feel like there is also emotional distance between us.
All right, that's true.
Sex isn't the only way to grow that emotional togetherness, but it's a pretty good way sometimes. Mm-hmm. Third thing, the higher drive wants the lower drive.
By sometimes they mean
it
once or twice a day.
I guess. We do appreciate your willingness.
We don't want sex all the time.
Just once or twice.
A couple of times a day. I mean, what's
the matter with that?
You got all kinds of stuff to do the rest of the day.
Okay.
All right.
We do appreciate your willingness to show up once in a while. However, we desire so much more. We want you to want us. That's what number three is. We will actually.
And that is true. And it's, yes. You know, and I've, there are people, you hear them talk about it where, you know, the guy's trying to have sex, or vice versa, and the person just, they're just not into it, you know. You're trying to make love to your wife, and she's sitting there, you know, wondering, gee, I wonder if, do we have the lights on in the car?
Yeah.
Or counting ceiling tiles, or asking, you done yet? I hear this, what people say.
You appreciate the show-up sex, but you really want more than just
to be into
show-up sex. And the third one, it's the bonus that we
But you really don't think the other person knows that? See, the premise of the article is, gee, I wish they knew this about us.
Because people maybe they don't know.
I think they know. They don't give a care.
Give a care.
Catch myself. Or is it something wrong? Anyway, okay. Give a care.
They don't give a care.
A care. They don't care.
Is it,
okay.
I don't know. And the bonus that they throw in is we feel bad about pressuring you. The high.
But not all that bad.
Because they keep pressuring you.
I just start singing some James Brown. Get on up. Get on the scene.
No, Phil.
Like a sex machine.
Like a sex machine.
No, so. I guess I should have chose a different article.
Yeah.
Probably wasn't the wise, the wise
the
choice.
I don't know what the point of any of that was. I think the other person knows exactly these things.
You think so?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I don't think they particularly care. You got to work it out. It is what it is. So many answers to that. Okay. But let's not get into it. We'll be back with your emails right after this.
Download your free Mark Gunger app today to see all of the latest from the world of Mark Gunger.
Here to talk to you about our Transition One program during this break. In Green Bay, we have started a new program called Transition One. It's a gap year program for young people coming out of high school, taking off a year to put God first in their lives before they go running off to college. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God. Christians are terrible at this. You know, we say we love Jesus, but as parents, we tell them, make sure you get this and make sure you have money. And make sure, you know, and then that's why so many people encourage their kids not to get married and wait. Because what we put first more than anything is the almighty dollar. And it is a mistake. It is a disaster. Having said all that, look, take time and put God first in your young people's life. Encourage them. Take a year off. Good grief. We have a huge failure rate of young people who leave high school and go into college and lose their faith, right? They give up on their faith, get caught in all kinds of stuff, sexual immorality and stuff. Why? Because they've never really had a chance to put their faith into action. All they're doing is living off your parents' faith and you keeping them busy in youth groups and stuff like that. They've never really had to stand on their own. A gap year program. There's many of them around the country, but we've just started our own. And these are popping up because people are realizing we've got a problem here. Slow down a bit. Right out of high school, put God first. Take 1 year of your academic year, put God first in your life. In our program, we emphasize, while it's biblical, it's not a Bible school, but it's about how to succeed in life, how to make choices, how to serve, what life is really about, putting God first in your life. It's for 6 months, and then the last 3 months, they serve overseas in some safe place, but it's someplace overseas where they get a chance to really see how people in other parts of the world, third world countries and whatnot, live. And you get a chance to serve and sweat and be uncomfortable, and there's not a McDonald's everywhere, and you can't be texting every 5 seconds. This is a good experience for your kids. They come back from this one-year program. Their lives are forever changed. Their priorities are set. Now they can go forward with the rest of their lives. Put God first in your life. Check it out. TransitionOne.org. TransitionOne.org.
Invite you, we're gonna party. You can lose your blue. Your body don't hesitate. It's on Main Street by the Pearly Gate. There's a party going on.
There's a party going on. The music of Jimmy Bratcher. Check out his music at jimmybratcher.com. You are listening to and/or watching the Mark Gunger Show. You should be watching it because I'm so pretty. So pretty, I kiss myself.
It's so pretty.
Like this tie?
I do.
How did this tie?
Looks good.
I got a matching Didi Bob.
Pay
attention to me.
It's a pocket square.
If you pull it out like that, it looks a lot better.
It really does, doesn't it? It's much classier.
I think you should wear it as a headscarf.
I can do that. All right, okay. I got there.
Speaking of sex.
We weren't speaking of sex, were we? Oh, we were.
You always
we're talking
of
about
sex.
Ties, what and all the? Of a sudden, everything's about sex.
What the?
All right, okay.
He says, my wife and I watched your series, the sex, dating, and relating one, the one we have for teenagers, you know? Uh-huh. And my wife's response was that their girls that are 13 and 15 are not ready for this yet. We have talked to the kids about sex several times, and I want to keep the conversation going. I think part of her reasoning is that she's not ready to field the questions if they come up about whether or not we waited for marriage to have sex, which we did not. We both agree with your message, and I don't want our mistake to justify future mistakes by our kids.
Did people ask that question? Did you ask that question?
No.
Who would ask your parents that?
Did you wait?
I think that there's some kids that would. Hey, y'all fornicate for... Who would ask that question?
I know. He says he would like to be honest if the girls ask and explain the regret, but the wife
No, fears... Well, let's deal with that first. Mm-hmm. First of all, you're being really paranoid. If you're really afraid of talking about sex because they're going to ask what you did, you guys are goofy. First of all, stop. If your kids say, did you say, hey, it's not about us, it's about you. Mind your own business. So that's what I would do. I'd shut it down.
Well, I get paid to listen to my dad talk about sex,
all he
and
does.
I have no desire hear about his personal. No.
He's never asked me about my personal sex life. Who would do that? I wouldn't want to know. Ew!
But he wants to be honest and explain their regret.
No. Shut up. You know, this just really irritates me. Parents who dump on their kids. Mm-hmm. You know, and they got to tell their kids all the nasty stuff that they did. And I think it has a negative effect at so many levels. First of all, you're tearing down the image they have of you.
That's what the wife is afraid of. He says she's afraid they'll lose their respect and that it will scar them to know that.
Well, I don't know how scarred they are, but it's just creepy. Mm-hmm. Dude, what's the matter with you? These people are so obsessed about wanting to purge their guilt or whatever. So they want to tell their kids, yeah, I used to get drunk and I used to steal stuff. I have seen parents do this. And this is really bad. At least he'd be remorseful. I've seen parents do that, and there's a gleam in their eye while they talk to their kids about it.
Oh, I know people personally who do that.
I know
they
several
tell
people.
Their boys,
oh, yeah.
Ooh,
oh, I
about do
that.
What they did.
And I remember when the first time I had sex, and man, was that awesome. I mean, they literally leave that out. So the kid wants to go do that kind of stuff. It's none of their business. Shut up. That's my personal advice. You write in the show, you want my advice? You as a parent have no obligation to dump on your kids all the rotten, nasty things. Now, later in life, my son has heard about some of these nasty things. Probably in a sermon. Probably just shook his head. But we weren't going. Tell him, you know, all the nasty stuff we did when they were teenagers. And, you know, we did this and, you know, managed to get really high and take LSD and all this crazy. You know, didn't dump all that stuff on your kids. Stop. Good grief. That just irritates me. I'm trying to be nice today.
Okay.
But it was the danger. The danger sign was high today.
It
took.
It already started.
Already.
It was already.
All right, so stop. Do not dump on your kids all the stuff you did that you know was wrong. If you're still guilty about that, you haven't really connected with what God does in your life. Old things are passed away. All things become new. You're going to walk as a new creation in Christ. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. You shouldn't even be remembering this stuff. If you're really walking as a true, is he a Christian or is he pagan?
No.
A
goat, church,
goat
no.
slaying pagan.
No, oh, no, no.
Wait, there's goat
goers.
Slaying pagans out there.
Well, he's not one of them.
They cut goats up and they howl at the moon.
This is not one of them.
Right. People must assume there's a lot of pagans here in Green Bay. Much as you bring it up.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if it's a devout Christian, forgetting all those old things. He hasn't forgotten them, and he's just waiting for the opportunity to tell his kids about it. Stop it! All right.
Okay, he had another question about...
I'm sure that wasn't the question at all. What?
No, that was the first another question. He said, is it mostly important to share the material, you know, with your kids, the sex stuff, right before they start dating, or should it be done sooner?
You know, I'll leave it up to them. I will say this. I think people who tell me, I have a 15-year-old, I'm afraid they can't hear this material. What do they think I'm saying? I mean, we're not drawing pictures.
It's not a how-to, people.
It's not a how-to. This sticks into that kind of... What do you think we're talking about? Just the fact that we mention sex at all, they think my kids do. You got a 15-year-old who can't hear the words about sex and just doing life right? there something wrong with you? What do you think? I don't know. I think there's something. Listen to me. And I've talked about this before, and we're running out of time. Listen, I'll come back on my rant. Let's take a break. We'll be back right after this.
Have a marriage dilemma? Email your questions to ask@markgunger.com, and Mark can answer them during one of our shows.
On the Mark Gunger Show, talking about love, marriage, and relationships, answering your emails. We got an email from a dad who is it his wife's concern that the girls will learn about sex too young or something?
I think so. And okay. A lot of the concern is about divulging their past mistakes.
Yeah, and I think that's terrible. I don't think you need to tell your kids anything about your past, personally. All right. Unless at some point they're much older and there's a lesson to be learned. A lot of people, there's no lesson to be learned. They just want to purge their guilt still because they haven't realized that they're a new creation. They're supposed to forget all this stuff. All right, having said that, then this concern about, oh my goodness, I don't know my kids. You know, it really bugs me because I try to encourage churches to bring their teenagers to my conferences, but they're scared to death because I talk about sex. You know when I talk about sex? I draw a heart and a smiley face, and I don't say jack.
No.
Now, anybody who's not completely dumb gets what I'm talking about. We're not talking graphic sexuality here, for heaven's sakes. And so here's this lady, maybe him too, I don't know, they're paranoid. They're like, oh, they're 15, I don't think they can handle this. What? Have they watched my DVD?
Yes, they've seen the DVDs.
Well, what do they think is so graphic in there?
Maybe, I don't know. I'm telling you, their children, no matter how sheltered they think that they're keeping them, have already seen and heard far more than what is on your... I mean, I just can't imagine. In the world we live in, they've had to have encountered way worse than what you talk about on the
DVD. All right, so what I was going to talk about is, for thousands of years of human history, the bulk of human history, people were raised on farms. You ever been on a farm? You know what all the farm animals do? They're doing the wild thing. Particularly if it's like a dairy farm. But the dairy farm just legalized cow prostitution. You got like 100 cows and one really happy bull, and his job is to keep them all knocked up. And so the kids see this at 3 years old. They're seeing this at 4 years. They've seen the chickens and everybody go at it. So they were so aware of that kind of stuff. It wasn't this big, ooh, thing that we make today. Then we also live in cities, and kids never saw that, so it becomes this big, traumatic thing. Oh, man, well, when can I tell my kids this? When kids would see the stuff when they were children. So, I don't know. I think people are way too paranoid about it. But at the end of the day, they're the parents, and they got to deal with the kids and what their decisions, that's their decisions. You know, we were just talking about earlier, you said that your dad was explaining to you electrical connections.
Yeah, when I was a kid.
When you're a kid. And, for example, this is a male connector.
Yeah.
Well, if you go to Radio Shack.
Yeah.
And this is a female connector.
Yes.
And one day your dad explained to you the female and the male, and it's a male, and the male goes in the female.
I think he asked me to hand him, you know, something. They hand me the female or whatever, and I'm like, excuse me?
And then it dawns on you.
What he was talking about.
What you're talking about. Of course, you got the giggles.
Yeah, yeah.
All right?
Hilarious.
Because all of a sudden the light goes on.
Ah!
Wow! You know what I'm saying?
One is the receptacle. One is the...
Exactly. So even if you're... But see, people aren't even aware of that. No one's aware when a kid sees the outlet that that's a female outlet.
Yeah.
And that plug is the male. So we don't even use those terms anymore.
No.
For fear of, my kids will learn about... Everything, everywhere.
That's why you put those safety things on them. So they can't see those parts of...
Oh, my gosh.
It's not to...
Outlet condoms, kind of. Like.
Yeah. Not a condom, but a chastity belt. All of our outlets have chastity belts on. I mean, there are so many sexual analogies.
I know.
Everywhere in life, and you do the show for more than 10 minutes, everything everybody says is something sexual. So, you know, your kids see all this stuff, but we sanitize it. We don't use... That's a female connector and a male connector. Like I said, also the daughter, oh my gosh.
I mean, I kid you not, I cannot ever use a hose. hook it up to my spout or turn it. I mean, I'm pressure washing my deck and I'm putting it into, and I'm thinking male, female. I mean, just because I always think of my dad.
Ah, it's because you're a pervert, number one. That's like, your biggest problem.
It just
problem.
Makes me giggle.
Anyway, this is life. This is normal stuff. This is what people do and have done. That's, you're hiding from your 15-year-old. This, I don't understand.
And I'm telling you, they'll see worse. They've seen worse. They've heard worse. They've
but
seen
again,
worse.
But again, my deep, what do I talk about? We refer masturbating and that kind of, but.
But it's all in the proper context. Well, what they're seeing in the world is the wrong stuff, and they're getting it in spades.
You could do a follow up, sex dating relating 2.0, and you could start using some more of those analogies. Just go for a trip on the farm.
Field trip.
We're here today at this
on the farm with Pastor Mark.
Today we're visiting the cow brothel.
Here's the cow. There's the dogs. There's some chickens going at it. Look what happens over here with the sheep. Look at this. It would just never end. It's all over the place. So anyway, that which you, some of you, this couple clearly fears is unrealistic fear. And the problem is sometimes you can put such a fear that a lot of these kids, when they finally get married, they're scared to death of sex.
Yeah, and we get those emails.
Yeah, or people say sex is bad, sex is bad, sex is bad. And then they get on their wedding, they say, okay, go at it.
Yep.
Well, they can't get past it.
Nope, they can't.
Some of them never get past it. Their entire lives now, their sex lives are ruined because some of you parents have been so over the top telling them that it's bad when it's not bad. Tell your kids, man, sex is great. It's awesome. But you want to do it right. Mm-hmm. You want to wait till you do it right. Your kids to see my videos at 13, I think they ought to see them at 11, for heaven's sakes. I just don't understand, but it's their call.
Well, my kids have been hearing it since they were 5 and 8, penises, vaginas, this, that. I mean, they've heard it all because of who their mom works for. They're not ruined, I promise you. My children are not ruined.
Fine. Goodness gracious. I just don't understand what the big fear is. All right.
That's all?
That's all.
Okay. I did not think that one first email would take 25 minutes of the show.
That's just me.
Okay, another sex one, I'm telling you. He says, Mark, my sex drive is starting to lose steam. After 19 years and 4 children, I can no longer raise the interest to overcome the roadblocks and obstacles my wife throws between us. In the beginning, I saw her blocking attempts as a challenge and part of the game. As the years went by, the comments got mean and I started backing off. Here are some examples. Before sex, she'll say, do I have to? Can't you just...
Whoa. Who would say that to somebody?
She does, apparently.
No, but I'm saying, what's the matter with people?
No, listen.
What? I'm just doing it one at a time.
It gets worse.
What woman, before she makes love to her husband, would say,
do I have to?
Do we have to? I don't know what people are thinking.
Mm-hmm. Do I have to? Can't you just turn it off? Do you really think that turns me on? And, okay, with a sigh, hurry up. During sex. Can you hurry it up? I need to sleep, watch TV, do something else. He says she uses that one 80 to 90% of the time.
Does she even watch the show? She probably doesn't even watch the show.
Probably not.
So it wouldn't do any good to tell her. But women who do stuff like this, these are the women who then when they hit their 50s and 60s, find a man who has no interest in her whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And here's some advice for you, okay? Go rent the movie Hope Springs, all right? Go rent the movie Hope Springs. It's a very depressing movie. Your wife will like it. Women like depressing stuff. So go watch this movie, and it's a very cold, empty story about a woman who has a husband who will never touch her, only to learn later that the reason he never touches her, she was the one who started it. And your wife, maybe she'll get a clue. Say, you know, this is going to be us. At some point, because they're going to want the attention. Otherwise, you're married to your cousin. Mm-hmm. Is that what your wife wants? She just wants to be married to a guy that has no interest. Mm-hmm. See, these women whine and belly about it, and then they're the ones who complain later because there's no passion in their lives. Mm-hmm. The divorce rate among people in their 50s and 60s is ridiculous. 80% of it is all filed by women who feel robbed. Mm-hmm. I just don't have the passion. And then they become interested in some other nicer guy who pays because they're so busy telling the guy no. They so discourage him that it turns around and bites them later. Some of you girls are going to be absolutely living out a nightmare that you'll see in this movie. You ought to watch the movie. That's going to be you because you're just making it so difficult for him. And then you're going to be sad and I don't know what's wrong and there's no passion in our lives and blah, blah, blah. It's a problem that just doesn't need to happen. All right, we'll be back after this.
Caution, the Mark Gunger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience.
I'm off the wall. I speak but don't make sense at all. It's a bit
Mark, my theme song.
It's a bit embarrassing.
I'm off the wall. I talk and I don't make sense at all. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the Mark Gunger Show. Mm-hmm. Mark Gunger, Diane Bryley, Phil Gunger, answering your emails about love, marriage, and relationships. What do you got?
Okay, we're going to switch gears entirely.
Thank God.
He says, Mark has said that he gets frustrated when a person goes to a pastor for advice and their response is just pray and seek God.
Yes.
I'm having a big problem right now, and every pastor I have gone to comes back with, I think you need to pray and seek God, and he'll tell you, is what the pastors are telling him for the answer. He said, I just don't accept that as an answer. I'm hoping that the man, the myth, the human burrito can answer my query.
Just pray about it.
He says, how do you discover your calling? I'm 31 years old. I've been a Bible practicing Christian for 5 years and have even preached a few sermons to the youth of our church. The staff pastors have told me I'm really good at preaching and keep asking me if it's my calling. I have prayed, sought after God, talked to everyone I can think of. Any chance you have words of wisdom? How do I know for sure what God is calling me to?
Well, how did Moses know? Burning bush, that was pretty dramatic, you know. How did, I guess those aren't good analogies because God actually did show up and talk to these people. A lot of times you just got to test. You got to test your gifts and your abilities and see what works and what doesn't work. For example, I he's talking about youth pastors. I knew a guy, he said, I'm called to be a youth pastor. Mm-hmm. I said, wow, great. So how do you know that? Well, I just know. I said, so do you work with teens now? No. Are you involved in your youth group now? No. Does anyone ever ask you to speak and do anything with teens? No. I don't think you're called. I mean, it's a little bit ridiculous. Put it to the test. Whatever he thinks he wanted to do with all your heart. If God has something specific, I will say this. If God has something specific for you, he will show up and he'll make it clear, like a Moses type thing. The rest of it, most of us, we just walk by faith. And we step out and we do things and see if God's behind it and if it works. Here's another example. I had a guy who called me, I'm talking to him on the phone. He'd probably been fired from his, is it sixth church? Fired. I mean, just, we don't want you anymore. And I said, so what are you going to do? Well, I don't know. I just know God's going to open something else. Because I really feel called to ministry. And I'm thinking, I don't think so.
Fired six times?
I don't think so. If everywhere you go,
nobody
can stand you in ministry, and you apparently don't have the gifts and stuff for it, why do you keep pushing it? I just think it's ridiculous.
Do you think that people get a little bit too wrapped up in this calling business?
No, absolutely. I think do, because, again, just go out
just
and do
something.
Just do something and see what God opens doors for you. If you say that I am talking to youth and they love it and it's great and people ask me to do more, well, just keep doing it. You know, see if God opens doors for you. He's the one who runs the show. You know, and if it doesn't, then just because you might be good at something doesn't mean you're necessarily called to go to ministry, to school, and just do it full time. Just see what God does in your life.
It sounds so spiritual to be called. I mean, I've worked for you for 12 years now. I've never one time ever thought I would say I was called to do any of this. I just do. I do what I do. I mean, you know what I mean? It's like I'm not searching for my calling.
I know.
People I'm just here and I do it.
It's way too dramatic. They just make it way too dramatic.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm called to this. I'm called to this.
Yeah. So because they want that Moses experience. Yeah. They want that, you know, how did Moses know? Ooh, you know, that's what everybody's trying to duplicate. And that's really, most of the time, look, and what, Saul was riding along, gets knocked off his horse. But most people don't have those kinds of experiences. We just live our lives and we trust God. People say, Pastor, I'm so glad you felt called to minister to couples. I never felt called.
It just happened.
So why? Because when I would talk about couples, people would respond. And no one was more shocked than me. I'm still got a little bit of awe about it, but maybe not so much now because it's 15 years later. But I'd say for the least first seven, almost 10 years, I was always stunned that people actually wanted to listen to this. And I would do these conferences and people pay me money to listen to what I got to say about marriage. Well, isn't that wild? I remember the first time that we did a conference and we had products on the tables and stuff. They were selling faster than we can get it. And I'm thinking, well, isn't this really? That odd? Stop, understand this, because I am a pastor. I speak about all kinds of things. I think I'm rather brilliant at all of them. I speak on faith. Mm-hmm. I speak about prayer. I speak about all kinds of stuff, okay? But, you know, no one has ever called me. So would you come to my church and speak on faith? would you please come to my church and talk about prayer? Would you please? Nothing, nothing. And all my stuff's out there. It's on the internet. Nobody cares.
They okay, want you to come
except
and talk
my church,
about marriage.
And I don't, you know, I suppose they have no choice. They're stuck with me. Mm-hmm. But everybody, I get calls from every church, everything you can. Please come talk about marriage. Come. So I get, you know, I should kind of focus on marriage because that's clearly, I think that's what God wants me to do. But because I see the evidence of mm-hmm. that, you know. Now, if I was constantly trying to push about marriage and nobody wanted to listen to me. And I would have, you know, a lot of people do this. They'll get involved in their church and they'll do a Bible study. Mm-hmm. And they get mad because nobody goes to the Bible study. Mm-hmm.
But they think they're called.
And they come into the mm-hmm. pastor and say, will you guys promote my Bible study? Will you talk about my Bible study more from the thing, you know? And then they get mad at the church because they're not pushing the Bible study in the bulletin and from the pulpit because that's why people don't come. No, the reason people don't come to your Bible study,
you
suck. You know, they don't like it. They don't like listen. You know what I'm saying? Something. Yeah. They're not very. People think they're very yes. gifted, but nobody responds. That means this isn't working for you. If I was pushing it and pushing it, and nobody wanted to hear it, and I kept calling churches 24/7. Man, I need to come do it. And all the friends that I know in ministry, man, you need to come have me do a marriage conference. And they said, well, you know, we'll pray about it. You know, it's a spiritual way of mm-hmm. just avoiding things. But they never did it. But I kept pushing it. There's people that do this. Mm-hmm. They keep pushing. I can think of a lady right now. She has been obsessed that she's called to ministry mm-hmm. all her life. And she finally went to school and she got her ministerial degree. She got all this stuff. And finally now she's a reverend or whatever she thinks she is, and still nobody wants to hire her.
Nobody gives a rip.
Nobody cares. Mm-hmm. There's nothing about her that you would say, wow, there's a real gift mm-hmm. in you. You know, let others speak of your gift, the Bible talks about. So just test it and see what's there. God's a big boy. Here's the thing about the will of God, and I think that always bugs me, is people think the will of God, you've got to really fast and seek and pray and try and understand and all these pastors are telling you and stuff like that. Let me ask you a question, because Jesus used this analogy before, and I love it when he said, if you being evil know how to give good things to your children, a little insulting, mm-hmm. hey, you guys, you're all evil.
You're evil.
You're dirty rats. But if you know, now, let me ask you a question. You're a parent. Mm-hmm. This guy's a parent. All you people are parents. If you have children, do you tell them your will, or do you ask them to come and seek your will?
Oh, no, I just tell them, you need to do...
You don't think that you should just sit back and wait and your children should come, mother, father, oh, wonderful parental units, would you please tell me what you need for me today? I want... No. If you're an employer, do you wait for your employees to come and discover your will?
No.
Now! They'll sit there and keep clocking in and out, taking all the money you want to pay.
Well, you can tell me what to do.
You tell me what to do. I'm just sitting around working. Best job I ever had. All right? Now, if a boss makes clear his will, if a parent makes clear his will, anybody makes their will very clear. They don't need anybody seeking them to discover their will. Okay? So I would say, if you being evil know how to clearly communicate your desire and will for people, why did you think God wouldn't do that? You know? Now, I know there's, you know, in the Old Testament and stuff and seeking the Lord, all that, but again, a lot of it's the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. You know, we have the Holy Spirit today. So I don't think it's this big ministry. I think God's a really big boy. And if he really wants you to do something, I think he has a way of letting you know that. I've told my church many times a story. For me, it's like the will of God is like a house. And it's like God closes every door and window in the house, opens one door, and he lights the house on fire. I feel compelled. I don't think, gee, which window should I go out? There's only one door. The house is on fire. Let's get out of here. The reason I got back into ministry, because my business started falling apart.
Your house was on fire.
My house was on fire. You know? The reason I went to Stevens Point,
yeah,
they made me go.
Yeah.
I didn't want to go. I love you guys in Stevens Point, but I'm just telling you, I didn't want to go. No. The reason I got into Laugh Your Way is the pastor here kind of pushed me into yeah. it. I don't want to go. Stutters 47 yeah. years or whatever the heck. No one's ever listened to me, and now you want me to go or travel around the country and tell people I'm married. Who's going to listen to me? Nobody ever listens to me. But he pushed me. I thought, you know, I better do this because I know this guy. Because if you don't do what he does, he's going to can you anyway.
Well, an opportunity was there. People who think that they have this calling and I want to do this, but there's never an opportunity. They want to be speakers, but nobody ever asks them to speak. There's never an opportunity presented to them. Well, then give it up.
Now I feel bad. I feel like I'm ignoring a calling in my life of male modeling.
With all the calls that you get. People say, how did you start Laugh Your Way? Literally, I went to Stevens Point to pastor.
Because you were forced.
I was forced. And I'm trying to do these seminars, and nobody wants to come. So I said, let's stop. I'm not the smartest guy in the room, but I'm not a moron. Mm-hmm. So I told my church staff, which like one person, and I said, we'll finish these last three seminars, and then we're just going to focus on the church. Well, the minute I did that, the next seminar, packed out, packed to the walls. People were slammed outside trying to get in. And the next one, there was no chairs left. People literally stood. They paid money to listen to me talk without chairs. And it wasn't like I was short-winded. Okay? 3 hours, they would stand and listen. And then the third seminar, the same kind of thing. I'm thinking, really now?
That was kind of clear.
And it got my attention. But even still, I hadn't changed my mind. Then I get a call from a multimillionaire. He's never heard me preach. Yep. He calls me up, says, I want to meet with you. He comes, he says, I hear you're helping people with marriages. Yeah. He says, if I backed you to the tune of $4 million, would you go all over the country and do this?
Duh.
Well, no. Let me think about that, you know. And a little while later, another guy called me. I want to meet with you. I fly all the way to Arizona to meet with a guy. We're sitting having lunch. We're talking and blah, blah, blah. And when we get to my flight's getting ready to leave, he said, "Well, just want you to know, I want to give you $1 million to help you do what you're doing."
Okay.
So I couldn't even call my wife because we're on the phone. Just had to quick get on the flight. I get in Minneapolis and I call her. She said, "What did he want?" I said, "He wants to give me $1 million." Mm-hmm. And she said, "Oh, why would he do that?" I said, "I don't know." So. I don't know. I kind of felt maybe this was God's will. Mm-hmm. When all of a sudden the doors start flying open and people respond, I had decided not to do it. Because it was a pain and it was hard and it wasn't working. And then all of a sudden, boom, everything. So that's how I know I believe I'm doing what God wants me to do. God is a big boy. He knows how to communicate. Put it to the test. If people respond and the doors open, great. If not, just serve and quit trying to be so analytical and wait for some big Moses-like kind of experience. All right, enough of that. We'll take a break and be back with your next email right after this.
Want more of Mark? Visit markgunger.com. There you will find everything that Mark has to offer.
Back on the Mark Gunger Show, talking about love, marriage, and relationships. Answering your emails, what do you got?
Okay, she says, hello, I'm 30 years old and been married for 7 years, and we have kids. Hello?
They have kids. They've been married how long?
7 years.
Okay, 7 years. They're
30, been married 7 years. Early 20s, I got married. We are Christians and serve the Lord at our church. My question is, I watched the first Magic Mike movie and have the DVD at home in our DVD collection. Uh-huh. Now I want to see the second Magic Mike, but my husband won't let me. He says it's not a thing that a real Christian wife would do. Mm-hmm. Just want to know if it's bad or not, and can a Christian wife and mother watch this movie?
I haven't seen the movie. I would generally say Christian women and strippers. I don't know.
It's loosely based on my life story.
Should we pray about that? Oh, Lord, should I look at men who are taking off their clothes? I don't know. What do you think God would say? Look, I wouldn't make a big deal out of it. Your husband asked you not to do it. You love your husband, you don't do it. It's just that simple. Everybody gets to these big things about what's permissible and what isn't permissible. The things you got to live with each other. If my wife says, I don't want you to do such and such, I never get in a big debate of, well, there's nothing wrong with it, and we're in the Bible. Does it say that I can't eat Snicker bars, at 3 a.m? I just don't go there. If she says, stop that, okay.
Snicker bars at 3 a.m, that explains a lot, actually.
I hate you. So we don't get into this. I have to live with her.
Yeah.
All right? Talking to a guy this morning. My wife is really mad at me. Why? Because we keep arguing. She gets so mad she loses it. So you're arguing. Yes. Well, here's how you fix that. Okay. Don't argue.
Shut up.
Shut up. What are you arguing about? Some stupid thing. And just, why do you do that? Just stop. There's no reason to be arguing about stuff. Just Zip it. So anyway, your husband asks you, hey, don't look. I think it's inappropriate for you to look at that. Then you go, okay. And you just don't do it. Me, personally, yeah. I think it's a little odd that Christian women go to these movies. Are you okay with your husband looking at porn? Does she have a problem with him looking at stripper
That's
movies?
That's the question that oh, it just I ticks me would off. Throw.
And these girls read, you know, Fifty Shades of Stupid. And, oh, that's just a good story. Really? What kind of a sicko are you?
But I'm telling you, most of those women would not be happy if their husbands were reading, say, Penthouse Forum, which is the basically written porn. If they were going to see movies about, you know... Lovely Linda.
That's
Magic
right.
Mike.
I go to porn movies, but I just watch them because of the stories. Mm-hmm. It's just okay. So there's a little bit of nudity, like you know, 80% of the time. But you know, there's a great plot there. I mean, come on. Anyway, everybody's got their lines that they draw. I get it. You think Magic Mike and all you girls who think Magic Mike is fine, don't write me. I don't care. I will say this: if your spouse be it's your husband or the wife or whatever, says, don't do that. That's very insulting to me. I think it's very inappropriate. You should stop. It's called love. You made a commitment to each other to honor and respect one another. You yell at my, well, nothing wrong in the Bible. I think Magic Mike is just, he needs Jesus, and I need to pray for magic that he gets more magic. And just stop.
What makes him so magic anyway?
What's so magic about it? I'm sure there's a reason I don't want to know.
Sounds like one of them Harry Potter stories to me.
Okay, there's, you know, Harry Potter.
Okay. No, you got him, Phil.
No, but people argue about whether or not, you know. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. But your spouse really gets upset. Man, I don't want you to go see those things. I just don't see it. You got to live with each other. What is the point of this nonsense?
They want to be right. Don't you know they want to be right. They
so
want
your spouse
their way
gets
and they want to be right.
So mad that they walk out and your marriage is on a bad place. You got to live with it. That's why the Bible says, better to live on the corner of a roof than in a house with a contentious woman. What the Bible's trying to say is don't tick her off. Why would you tick her off? Or some of you women, you're ticking off your husband. Why do you do that? There's some things my wife doesn't want me to do or whatever, read or a movie she doesn't. I'd like to see the movie. I don't think it's any big deal. She doesn't like it. You know what I do? I don't watch it. Mm-hmm. People. I don't know. Pastor Mark, why does our marriage suck? I don't know. We never talk to each other, and I do things that make them mad all the time, and I, you know, and I'm just selfish. I want what I want when I want it because I think it's really right, and that's what God wants me to do. Why does my marriage stink? You know, I don't know.
We're going to find you, like, in a park someday.
I have no. I'm just
having an argument with a tree.
Exactly.
I know. I tell you,
lost her that tree's having relationship problems. I'm not sure.
Why is my marriage? I don't know. I have no idea why some of these people have marriage problems. Not a clue. I don't know.
No.
The mystery. Truly a mystery. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back with the final segment right after this.
Attend Mark's Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage event. Visit laughyourway.com for upcoming dates and locations.
We're back on the Mark Gunger Show, final segment. Answering your emails about love, marriage, and relationships. What do you have?
Okay, we'll end the show on a high note.
Okay.
You asked me to specifically read this one on the air, so hopefully you can listen and not trash the last segment like you did the first.
Oh my goodness. See, when I was young, I could do that. Yeah. Even higher.
Okay.
They pulled something.
Okay. She says, I want to share with you all how your show advice and the flag page has changed my family.
Oh, cool.
First of all, the flag page has been such a blessing for me and my husband. We watched your Laugh Your Way on YouTube, then we got engaged and decided to do the flag page. I learned so much about my husband, but I also learned a lot about myself. I am peace perfect, and I have always struggled with my personality. Everyone tells me I'm too sensitive and too much of a perfectionist, and that I take things too personally. After taking the flag page test, I saw that I am just from perfect country, and although those of us from perfect country have things we struggle with, our personality can be very useful in life and in the body of Christ. From doing that test alone, I was able to understand that God made me like this and he loves me just how I am. Doing the test also helped me to be more aware of my personality, that my personality is getting in the way of my moving forward in life, so I am better able to deal with things, not expect things to be perfect all the time, and not be so sensitive all of the time. Second of all, your advice...
She's just too sensitive.
Second of all, your advice about separation has practically saved my parents' marriage.
Okay.
They have been married for over 25 years, and my dad, for the past 10, has been at home, unemployed, watching TV while my mom worked long hours as a daycare teacher.
Who lets that go on for 10 years?
I know. And did all of the household chores. Well, she was working and doing the chores, and he sat home and did nothing. Apparently. Mm-hmm.
That sounds like God's will for me, actually.
Well, that sounds like somebody I know at this table, but okay. In the past 3 years, my mom began to snap out of it and finally decided to do something about it.
Good for her.
Twice already, she has had to separate. Both times, all four of us kids had taken her side, and my dad, out of fear of losing his kids and being alone, has gotten a job. The Woo-hoo! First time she separated, she was full of guilt and felt that she was not being a good wife by separating.
Of course she was, yes.
This past time, my mom listened to one of your episodes, and she realized she was doing the right thing.
Good.
Being affirmed in her actions gave her so much confidence, and to this day, if my dad starts to get lazy and show signs of slacking off at work, she immediately puts up a fight. He knows he can't mess with her anymore. She is no longer a weak-willed woman. After seeing all of these great results, my husband and I are most definitely raising our baby boy and our future kids the Gungorian way. Thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Very nice. They don't put up with that stuff. Goodness gracious. They just become empower bad behavior. Yeah. So you confront it. She had to separate a couple of times, and then he got a clue. Yeah. See, even a dog can be trained. That's what I always tell people. These people have really badly behaving spouses. You need to confront that. Mm-hmm. And when you do it, they eventually get a clue. Yeah. Sadly, most of them don't. Well, good. That's good to hear. We actually made a difference. All these years.
There you go.
We made a difference in one person's life. All right.
Thank you for not trashing the final segment like you did the opening segment.
I didn't trash it. It was self-trashing.
He was just trying to save it.
No.
I was trying to save it because it was so bad that I had to reach in and...
You just started off on a roll.
It's because it was a high danger.
Danger.
It was danger. Danger was high today.
Danger, danger.
All right. Well, tomorrow's show, perhaps the danger level will be lower and we'll have much
more
calm.
Next week.
Oh, that's right. Not tomorrow. Next week. All right. See ya.
Bye-bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.